No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here on a Wednesday, ready to get back at it and get some knowledge in your ears. A little bit of news. We got some interesting things we're going to go through as well today. Go through what Chuck Pagano said in his press conference Monday and run through some Pro Football Focus grades. I know that we have some differing views or some alternate views on what we see out of Pro Football Focus, but it will give us, and it always does give us, somewhat of a structure of what we saw, at least somewhat of a threshold as to approximately how well they played. And we'll see some interesting results, I think, with that too, some that I think that you guys will be intrigued about as well. But first off, let's start with a little bit of news in case you guys missed it. Robert Mathis was added to the coaching staff as a pass rush consultant. Thought this was kind of interesting here that they called him that, not instead of just a defensive assistant or something like that. You know, no need really to get into the pass rush consultant category, I didn't think. But I thought it was interesting anyways. Chuck Pagano was excited about it, said that basically he thought that it was already, you know, he was already officially on the coaching staff, though we already know that's not true. And talked about how much Mathis loves football and loves to be around the game. And I think that it says something that Mathis wanted to help the Colts. I know that, and you guys know that he and Pagano are tight and that there was a bond there between them throughout Mathis's playing days under Pagano. So I'm glad that he stuck around. I hope that his expertise, so to speak, helps, because we've talked about in the past, you know, Basham needs some secondary moves. Sheard, who actually showed off a lot better pressure, in my opinion, in week two here against the Cardinals, he could use some more refining under Mathis's tutelage, as well as a couple other guys. So I think that it's a great idea. I'm glad that he's actually, you know, it's official. If that's actually what he's going to be working on, you would have to assume. So he is getting into a nice role right there where he can actually be, you know, of some use and of some significance to this team. So I'm happy about it. I think it's great. On the injury front, and as far as who's going to be ready to go here in week three, it is a big week, guys. I mean, we've lost two against two teams that haven't been good this year. And, you know, well, I mean, the Rams have been okay. You know, the Rams have been a lot better, I think, than people suggested. And in fact, I'm pretty sure that I, you know, kind of warned everybody that the Rams would be with McVay at the helm. And I think that he's an excellent offensive mind. But, you know, losing last week with so many injuries to the Cardinals, not to mention we had a 10-point lead late in the game, had opportunities to stretch that lead, and they just didn't do it. So there's some, you know, some aggravation with that naturally, both with the fan base, with me, I'm sure with the team as well. And you know, it'll be nice to get some of these guys back and healthy. There's been, you know, Chester Rogers has been out. It says that he had a little setback, and he was getting a scan on Monday, and apparently they will know some more about that today. Morrison, there's a good chance that he gets back this week, but they're not sure about Walker or Darius Butler. So that's a little, you know, a little concerning, I suppose. They also said that Vontae and Ryan Kelly are week to week, which means they've still got a few weeks left, in my opinion. Obviously, Andrew Luck is not playing this week. So there's a lot, you know, still out there on the injured, you know, list, so to speak. And we really have some nice pieces in the secondary. I think that Quincy Wilson, Malik Hooker, and Nate Hairston's continued to show that they're more than capable of starting and playing and deserved of those roles. It'll be interesting when Vontae does come back, whether he is actually at 100%, because I honestly think that they have to make sure he's 100%. And we've talked about this in the past, and I think Chris Blystone on Monday's show pointed it out. You know, when he comes back and he's not 100%, it's obvious, because he's just getting steamrolled most of the time, you know, in coverage. We remember a couple times there where Antonio Brown last year, I believe he came back the week before Pittsburgh, or the week of, I'm not sure, but he just got flat out smoked that entire game, and Brown basically put him on roller skates two or three different times. So I was more than happy that those three guys really kind of stepped up and showed that they're capable and that they're deserved of those starting roles. So when these guys do come back, I was happy that Rashawn Melvin played really well. I thought that he, you know, really improved significantly since week one. Last year, I was a big fan of his, really enjoyed his play. But, you know, week one was pretty sketchy for him. He was following around their number one, obviously, with Watkins. And it just did not look well, did not look good at all. Not to mention they had TJ Green opposite him. And, you know, now that we've got, you know, some capable rookies, not necessarily does it matter that they're rookies, but some other capable guys in there that we know can play. You know, I think TJ Green ultimately no longer has a starting spot and probably doesn't. I mean, I don't even know how many snaps he saw Sunday, but it couldn't have been very many because I don't even recall seeing him on the field, to be quite honest with you. Whether he was or not, I can't speak to that 100% because I haven't looked at the snap counts, but I did not see him on the field, and you know, it didn't bother me one bit. Obviously, Pagano was excited about how Quincy played. You know, the Quincy had mentioned that he wasn't real, you know, happy about that one along the sideline being a pass breakup as opposed to an interception because, man, he had it. I don't know if he just got off his feet late or if his arms were too wide open or what, but it went right through. I think that it went right through his arms and ended up bouncing off of the Cardinals receiver there. But he was in the right spot. He ran the route for the receiver. He undercut it perfectly. He got up, high pointed the ball. I was excited to see that. I was excited to see Hooker roll coverage and get over behind and pick that one off there at the end of the first half. I'm a little concerned about, you know, what we see with Farley, though, to be quite honest with you back there. There was a, you know, on the touchdown there where Quincy Wilson did about all he could possibly do. His arm just, I mean, it that ball that J.J. Nelson caught back there was literally inches, I mean, an inch away from Quincy Wilson's arm. That ball nearly was broken up. But Farley and Hooker, you know, I don't know if they were rolling one side or the other. You know, whoever caught some underneath coverage was supposed to go after it or what. But you could see that neither one of them got deep enough. This is something we saw again in that touchdown against Cooper Kupp, except it was Butler and Hooker at the time. Neither one of them got deep enough. And I'm not sure what that coverage is, but it sucks, first of all. And second of all, teams are obviously attacking it because when they go after that with two safeties high, they're seeing that those safeties aren't dropping deep enough. We saw it in the touchdown against Kupp. You know, Green got beat one-on-one, but he should have – I don't know that the help would have actually resulted in a pass breakup or you know, not a touchdown anyways for Kupp. But somebody should have been back there. And then you get this one with Nelson again. And now, same exact thing. Safety doesn't get deep enough. Corners one-on-one with, you know, their wide receiver going deep for the end zone. What happens? Safety's not deep enough. Ends up to be a touchdown. That can't happen. That cannot happen. I don't know what they're doing, like I said, if that's something they are actually designing, but it sucks because Pagano didn't seem like he was too interested in blaming Farley for that touchdown. That was certainly not Wilson's fault. Like I said, I'm blaming it on Farley because he wasn't deep enough. That's the simplest rule in the book. If you're a safety, at some point, one of you has the coverage that you're supposed to be deepest on the field, and neither one of them were. And I don't know what's going on with that, but they need to knock that crap off. That needs to get completely thrown out of the playbook for those two, because on both of those situations, there really wasn't any underneath coverage to worry about. They've got to continue to make their drop. They've got to continue to get deep enough on the field to make a play. And as a result, there's been two touchdowns, at least one. That Nelson touchdown is definitely something that would have been broken up by a safety had he been deep enough. So that's something that they've really got to get out of this. I don't know where it's come from. They've got to get rid of it because it is total and complete garbage. So let's move on a little bit. They did talk Monday a lot about the secondary. There was a lot about that. There was a guy that, you know, Terrell Basham was a guy I did some film review on this past week. I was excited to see, you know, some things from him. I didn't notice him much on the field at all on Sunday. And, you know, that to me is an issue. Are they feeling like they just had better options? Maybe it was that Sheard was just playing really well. Simon was playing really well. And they just weren't, you know, when you get guys in a groove like that, maybe you just don't want to sub them in. I can't knock Pagano or whoever was making the decisions for that, doing that, because that makes sense to me. That's something that you need to do. If you got guys that are hot and that are getting home on their pass rush, keep them in there, you know, especially when you've got an unproven rookie who's really not getting home on his pass rush. You know, that's something that they needed to make adjustments in the game. And apparently, if that's the case, then I'm all for it. I think that was a smart decision on Pagano's part. I'm not really, I think I touched on this Monday. When it comes to the Pagano deal, you know, there's a ton. We can talk about Pagano till we're blue in the face, because we all know what we all think about him. And none of my assumptions on him have, you know, any bearing on anything, but they haven't changed either. However, there was a lot that I saw, and I've gone through some more tape and stuff like that since the last time we talked. And I've been pretty impressed with the large majority of what I saw. I saw a lot of people complaining about Costanzo, so I looked up a lot of tape on him. I'll have something going up on Stampede Blue here in the next couple days about that and kind of what I saw with him, you know, percentage of good plays to bad plays and stuff like that. But I've also been watching Jacoby Brissett, watching his decision-making, how he was seeing the field and stuff like that. He did a lot of good, but he left a lot of points out on the field as far as I'm concerned. And I understand first time with the team starting, not enough time to get necessarily super familiar and comfortable with the playbook or the receivers. However, these weren't playbook issues. These were him not being able to slide some more protection in from a receiver in order not to get hit from the backside. These were not seeing the field when he had a clean pocket to throw from. Situations like that, indecisiveness, stuff like that, not indicative of where he's at in the playbook or with his receivers, but more indicative of where he is as a quarterback in general. So I make no mistake about it. I was impressed with a lot of what he did. He's still got a lot of room to grow. We don't know how many times more that we're going to see him under center. You know, we don't know when we're going to get Andrew Luck back, but I do like what he's done. I'm happy and hope for his progression to continue, because I think that he's got a long way to go, but I also think he's got a lot of capability and a lot of room to really become a quality quarterback. In fact, and I think that the Colts will be in good shape with him as a backup the more he continues to do this. And this will only help him as a backup, getting all these starting reps, getting all this stuff in the game. So that's about all there was, really. I mean, there were some questions and as far as the Monday press conference, and you get about the first sentence or two of an answer out of Pagano, and then the rest of it is mumbo-jumbo garbage, and you don't really, you know, it's the same answer on every question. So I'm not going to bore you guys with that right now, but I will continue to say that I was extremely happy with what I saw from the Colts in a lot of different areas. Naturally, there's always an issue somewhere. Something goes wrong eventually. But from week one to week two, you know, you can talk about personnel on either side of the field as far as who they played. That's fine. But don't forget that the Colts are losing, you know, don't have enough guys either. And if, by and large, the Colts had a different kind of spunk about them on Sunday. A lot of the players, the defensive guys, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I thought that the line protected pretty well the majority of the time. They had some breakdowns. It happens every game with every single team. You know, very seldom does a team go an entire game without a sack or two. So I'm not going to be too harsh on them, especially Costanzo, not right now, even though I'm only about halfway through his film review. The fact is I've told you guys this before several times in the past on any podcast I've been on, that the Colts would be in a world of hurt without Costanzo. So just don't sit there and try to bury the guy that would ultimately put the Colts in a casket if he wasn't on the field right now, because that's a fact. So be right back here in just a minute. We're going to have a word from our sponsor, and then we're going to get into some PFF grades. All right, guys, welcome back to the Colts Cast. I'm Matt Dainley. Let's get into these Pro Football Focus grades. I'm pretty interested to look through these and look them over and talk about them with you guys. For example, let's start with the quarterbacks. You know, didn't really think that I would even want to get into the quarterbacks. You know, Luck's not under center and so on and so forth, but Jacoby Brissett, 13th right now, with one game under his belt, scored a 74.9, was graded out as a 74.9, I guess I should say. Did pretty good in the pass, 72.9. Was good on the run, 78.9. Took 80 total snaps. That was, I was pretty impressed, you know, between the first, you know, what the fourth quarter of the last game and the whole all four quarters of this previous one. He's right now above, as far as per Pro Football Focus, he's right behind Ben Roethlisberger in front of Wentz. Now, granted, this is a smaller sample size, and I understand PFF grades, so don't get in my inbox charging me up about, you know, where I'm talking about where these guys are from or where they're at. Ahead of Wentz, Palmer, Matt Ryan, Trevor Siemian and Marcus Mariota, you know, immediately. I think that's, you know, we understand it's only 2 weeks into the season. We're not going to get too ahead of ourselves, but we have to be excited about what Jacoby Brissett brings. He brings a very strong arm. He threw with some anticipation the other night. He did a lot of that. Some of his ball placement was a little wicked, you know, so I'm not excited about that right now, but that's something that's going to get improved. I mean, I'm sure he had his jitters. He was starting a game at home with a packed house. Lucas Oil Stadium was filled, fellas. I mean, it was really, you know, and I don't want to, you know, let go of our female fans, ladies and gentlemen, but it was really pretty impressive for a guy who came in probably with some noodle legs, at least at some point in the game there. So I was pretty happy to see what he brought. Let's look at the running backs. Robert Turbin is 17th right now with a 71.5. I thought Turbin has had some, you know, some key third down conversions like he has in his past. Last year, that was what he was there for. Frank Gore is at 26th right now with a 62.2. And, you know, Frank, you know, struggled a little bit this past week, but he did enough, you know, to do something and to continue to play the way that Frank Gore plays at his age is pretty astonishing in within itself. I mean, you know, so Mac is down below. He is well down the list, and he doesn't have enough carries really to give a substantial grade or anything like that. But let's move on to the wide receivers. T.Y. Hilton right now is the best Colts receiver at 51st among the league at a 70.2. That's not good. We understand why that's not good. He hasn't had a lot of looks in the first 2 weeks. Last week he got a few. We all, you know, people are upset about what transpired with him diving, or he says is that he slipped for that first down attempt. You know, just a couple other things, you know, fumbling the ball in week one. He hasn't been himself, but he's also, you know, kind of trying to roll himself into what, you know, this new quarterback is offering him. So Kamar Aiken is 80th overall with a 47.9. I thought Aiken did a nice job running some solid routes the other night. And, you know, you've got to be happy with what you're getting from him. Dante Moncrief is 98th with a 43.5. A lot of people are upset about what Dante's doing. We understand. They don't think that he's given enough effort. They think that he's stopping on routes. I thought he stopped on a couple routes as well from at least my vantage point the other night. With what I've seen on tape, it's a little hard to tell. I know the one that was off to the sidelines when he was going up the rail, look, he lost the ball, or he just stopped running for some reason, but he waited really long to turn and try to track the ball. Another one that he was going towards the boundary and kind of stopped on the ball, and the ball was only a yard or two in front of him. It was almost, you know, if he had continued his route at the same speed, he should have honestly been pretty much right in line to catch the ball or get at least a hand on it, because it was almost intercepted as a result of him, you know, slowing down. And that's just something that you can't have with these guys. You can't have guys that are only given half-assed opportunities, and it's just not going to work like that. Let's move on to the tight ends. Jack Doyle, number 3 overall, right there tied up with Gronkowski at 85.8. Is there any more reason to love what Jack Doyle brings to this Indianapolis Colts team? I actually switched him and took him, and I had him as my backup in fantasy, and the guy I had starting in week one didn't do crap for me. I took him and put him on the bench and put Doyle in, and it paid off. Doyle was getting targeted all over the place. I thought that he would with a new quarterback, you know, security blanket. That's what he's there for, and that's ultimately what he is for whoever is the quarterback, to be quite honest with you. I'm going to keep Jack right there, so there's a little fantasy advice to you as well, you know, free of charge for sure. Let's go to the rest of them. Brandon Williams, He has a 47.9. He's, you know, not got enough snaps, only 32 right now total for the season. He's not getting, you know, he's not got enough to really get his grade among the rest of the field. Darryl Daniels, similar. He's actually at a 69 right now, 28 snaps. Not enough to get, you know, anything going there. And to be honest with you, we really haven't seen enough out of any of those guys to as far as Williams and Darryl Daniels. We haven't had enough of the snaps from those guys to get a real assumption of their skills, you know, by, even by our standards, let alone, you know, a grading scale. But, you know, Williams did have that nice 20-yard pickup right at the beginning of the second half, fought through some tackles. I would like to see them target him a little bit more, use him a little bit more. I think he's proven that he's a quality hands catcher, good tight end, quality blocker. I like it. So let's move on now. We'll go to the tackles. They got Denzel Good as the top Indianapolis Colts tackle. We know that he's not going to be there right now, but he's at 14th with a 78.7. And, you know, depending on what you think about Denzel Good between guard and tackle, or whether you believe that he even, you know, should be a tackle, you know, or not, is it kind of irrelevant. He looked good. He looked good his rookie year there to tackle. They should have never moved him. And now I think that not only by our standards, but Pro Football Focus has him graded out appropriately as far as I'm concerned. Anthony Costanzo is the number two guy, the top guy as far as tackle-wise. On the active roster, Anthony Costanzo at 37 with 61.3 grade from Pro Football Focus. And, you know, like I said, we can talk about what we think about him for as long as we want. Anthony Costanzo has been the backbone of this Colts offensive line for a few years now, and people just aren't going to, you know, give him the respect that he's due. He's a good tackle. He's not a great tackle, but there are probably 15 teams in this league that would jump at the chance to get Anthony Costanzo. We have to stop being spoiled fans and appreciate when we have a guy who's only giving up a few pressures a game, especially when he's going up against the best and most athletic pass rushers in the league at his position. We have to chill on that. It's going to happen every so often, guys. Okay. You know, when it becomes a real problem, then, you know, you say whatever you want. But when you're talking about a couple opportunities here and then acting like it's some sort of a major dysfunction with him over the past couple years, come on, get real. LaRaven Clark, he also doesn't have enough snaps. They've got him, you know, actually he doesn't have any snaps at all. All his was based on preseason, so there's no reason to go any further with the tackles for the Colts. But I would say cautiously optimistic about the tackles right now. I thought that they did a pretty good job the other day for the most part. There were some slips, and I get it. But, you know, by and large, I think this line is still going to continue to get better this year, and I'm not too worried about it. So let's move on to the guards. And right now the top guard is Jack Muhor at a 50.6. He's at 35th. And, you know, Joe Haig right behind him at 39th with a 52. So you see kind of how they're rolling with him there. Jeremy Vujinovic at 39.2, not so good. I don't understand the love affair with him whatsoever, but, you know, we'll continue to see that. Muhort looked good the other day. Haig looked pretty decent the other day. He had some pretty bad snaps as well, but he'll get better. I'm not too worried about him. I think that he was kind of late coming on due to some injuries and him being out earlier in the year. So I'm, again, optimistic that he's going to be in there. Deshaun Bond, he's in the top 32 in the league. He's 28th with a 45.8. I still think that for what was his expectations and what he's done for the Colts already in the first 2 weeks and how he's played and improved significantly in each game, I'm happy with that. I know that it's not Ryan Kelly, and nobody's expecting him to be Ryan Kelly, I hope. But Bond's done a pretty decent job. I'm pretty impressed with him. Rashawn Melvin, again this year, already the Colts' top-rated corner at 16th overall with an 83.1 grade so far through two games. That's pretty impressive by any standards, I think. Week one wasn't great for him. Week two was significantly better. I thought he was fantastic. Really enjoyed watching him play. It was fun watching him live. He was definitely a guy who was in the mix considerably and often, and I'm really impressed with that. Quincy Wilson, he's next at 69th, 48.8. Nate Hairston right behind him at 70th with a 47.4. These, you know, I'm not certain how they grade their cornerbacks, but the Colts are giving up, you know, Hairston in particular. He's had a couple bad goes at it, but for the most part, he's done pretty well. I'm really impressed with Hairston, and I thought Quincy Wilson kind of got shunned on his grade through Sunday. It is what it is right now. I just think that these guys are going to continue to get better. I think that they did a good job keeping balls underneath them for the most part. I mean, you know, we can talk about that touchdown. That, like I said, that's just as good a coverage as you're going to get. I think 9 times out of 10, that same pass gets knocked down, or the receiver just flat out doesn't catch it. It was kind of a miracle catch, to be quite honest with you, with all those hands involved and the way he fell. So I'm excited about Wilson and Hairston this year. I think they're both proving that they were fantastic pickups, especially through the draft when Hairston wasn't expected to do much of anything. There were high hopes for Quincy Wilson coming in, and I think he's going to reach those expectations at some point this year, probably sooner rather than later. Malik Hooker at the safeties, he's 22nd, right behind former Indianapolis Colts safety Mike Adams. Both ranked right there in the high 70s. Hooker is at 78, and you know, I was impressed with him as well. There was a lot to look forward to with him. Somehow Matthias Farley is at 29th with a 76.3, which is the same grade Eric Berry has. Come on, PFF. Let's not do this. See, I already get skeptical myself, but that's why I like these, because they're interesting, and some of them make me kind of shake my head a little bit, but others, you know, I kind of see the understandment or the understanding with these. I'm not going to say TJ Green because he hasn't played safety, but Darius Butler, he's at 64th overall right now with a 41.2. And, you know, Darius is one of those guys that's going to be used in a multitude of different ways. This is just something that, you know, we're going to have to get used to, and, you know, we'll do it. So let's move on to the linebackers. My guy, Jeremiah George, he is 7th overall right now with an 84.1. Love this guy. Love him. Very impressed with what he's done so far. 60 total snaps. Most of the snaps he was starting with the first squad, you know, the other day. And I thought he did a fantastic job. He's so good in coverage, at 83.3 in coverage. He hits hard. Like I was telling you guys the other day, he breaks down the team in the huddle right before they get ready to go back to the locker room, before they get pulled out. I just think that George has been, he is a find as far as I'm concerned. If, you know, they end up not starting him or whatever, he's going to be great as a special teams guy and as a rotational linebacker. But I honestly look for him to kind of hit the skids here pretty soon. Not George, but John Bostic, just because of his awful coverage. He is terrible in coverage. He's decent against the run. He's not fantastic. But Jeremiah George hits every bit as hard as he does and is significantly better, probably 3 times better than he is in coverage. And I think when Antonio Morrison comes back and he's healthy, if I'm the coach, which I'm not, Jeremiah George and Antonio Morrison are my two starters, because John Bostic just isn't cutting it right now. Not to mention he's still got the freaking club on his hand. I mean, it's not like he could catch anything even if he was in good coverage. So I love that Jeremiah George is that high. I'm very impressed with him, how he's played. And, you know, somehow John Bostic here, I think that they've got him higher, unless I missed Antonio Morrison. But John Bostic is sitting here at 60th. With a 40.8 grade. Not great. Half of what Jeremiah George has right now, and I'm not digging that. So that's obviously pretty terrible. I don't understand how Antonio Morrison's sitting at 71st overall with a 35.3, though. I just don't. Maybe it's because he's not he is flowing hard to the ball, but I also think he's overrun some plays. I'm not sure how he gets his points deducted for that. But, you know, I think that he's done a pretty decent job. I, in fact, really like the way he's played so far. So at least with my eyeballs, maybe if I did a little bit of tape study on him, I might see some of the glaring issues if they're seeing it. But, you know, that's what I like about him. Let's go to the interior defense. Marcus Hunt is first with a 40th overall, with a 78.5 grade. Jonathan Hankins is 42nd with a 77.6. Henry Anderson's 44th with a 77.3. And Al Woods with a 75.6 is 52nd overall. I mean, that's a lot of Indianapolis Colts in the top 50 right there. And I'm really excited about this team's interior pressure. I'm really excited about this team's ability to stop the run. I think that this Colts front is going to really do a significantly better job than what a lot of people thought. You know, I mean, I think that Jonathan Hankins brought a lot of fanfare to this front seven. And I think that Al Woods was under the radar for sure. But those two working together, Marcus Hunt's really impressed me. And I think that he's impressed a lot of people, especially because when he was signed in the offseason, we kind of scoffed at the signing, right? I mean, it was kind of like, you know, whatever. But he's really done a decent job. He's held his own. I thought he's played really well. And, you know, as far as that goes, I'm pretty excited about what he brings for the team moving forward. So let's move to the edge guys. John Simon. He's at 24th overall with an 81.1. Good grade, just not, you know, I mean, if you look up to the top 15, they're at 83s. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. He's actually ranked higher than Dante Fowler, TJ Watt, Carl Lawson, Ryan Kerrigan. All those guys have had pretty good seasons. So I mean, at least we're not seeing that they, you know, they're not giving him the respect that he deserves. John Simon's been far and away the best edge presence that the Colts have gotten. He's done well in coverage. He's doing a nice job opening up other pass rushers. I saw this play the other night of the Cardinals game, kind of reviewed it a few times. I think it's on Stampede Blue right now on one of the plays of the game with when Marcus Hunt came through the middle. John Simon comes from what would be his right side of the defense, goes and crashes down on the center. Marcus Hunt twists, comes around, finds his way through, gets a hit on the quarterback. That was the same one where Rashawn Melvin like continued to battle for that ball, was up in the air, knocked it loose, and almost caused the interception. Was really impressed with that. These guys are working pretty well together, and that's a good thing because they could be terrible right now. You know, with all these new faces, none of this could be really having any sort of chemistry whatsoever. So I was pretty excited about him. Jabal Sheard is 35th with a 78.1. He completely stepped up his game. Very happy for that because I was not impressed with him whatsoever to begin at any point right there in this, you know, the short amount of time that we've seen them in the season. He wasn't creating any pressure. He wasn't getting up off the edge, and we just weren't seeing enough out of him. Barkevious Mingo and Terrell Basham really right down there with each other without a rank. They're at 72.6 and a 74.2. And, you know, we can think what we want about those guys. I guess they just haven't had enough snaps. Apparently, you know, about 55 combined snaps between those two. So, you know, that's whatever. I think that Barkevious Mingo has some really good pass rush moves. He's just not getting the results out of what he does. Terrell Basham has a long way to go technically. So I'm hoping that he and Robert Mathis are becoming best of friends as of late. So I'm excited to see him grow because he really, really does need to. So guys, hang tight for a minute. We got one more break and then we'll come up and finish the show here in just a few seconds. All right, welcome back, guys. We're going to end this with a little bit of news. The Colts did sign Cyril Grayson Jr. to the practice squad and released wide receiver Fred Brown from the practice squad. Now, this is not really a big move or anything like that. Grayson's 5'9", 183. He's a track athlete, hasn't played actual football since high school in 2011. The Colts did this before with Brayson or Trayson or whatever the heck his name was in the preseason. A similar move there, right? But here's the thing. He comes from the Seahawks organization, which Ed Dodds is very obviously familiar with. And he was definitely saying that he was intrigued by him all the way back in April. So it may be the reason as to why the Colts brought Grayson in. It's really kind of interesting right now to look at. Okay, now let's take a quick look through the Colts practice squad because I think this is something that a lot of us are passing up, and it's interesting to me now because the Colts really have some solid talent on their practice squad. Phillip Walker, we all know what everybody's thoughts on that. It's whatever. Matt Jones, running back. Krishan Hogan, wide receiver. He's out of Marion College. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but he had a really good combine. He's a local guy out of Indy. did really well. He's nice. He's got nice length, speed. He can catch. I mean, hands catcher, not a body guy. You know what I mean? Really like him being on there. I think that if anything goes sour with the Colts, he's a big body that could be Dante Moncrief-ish, if you want to say, as far as if you want to look at body size and stuff like that and presumed abilities with what their style is. So I really like him being on there. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if somebody signs him off of the practice squad. The only issue with all that, and the only thing that could keep that from happening, is that when people do that, other teams come in and sign a guy off of another team's practice squad, they have to put them on their 53-man roster active. So they would have to basically play him. I mean, they could make him inactive for a game, but he would have to go on their active 53. So Cyril Grayson, Henry Krieger Cobble, we talked about him. We like his abilities. A little slower, but I think he's a significantly better catcher, hands catcher, and ball. He can just catch about anything. He really moves and adjusts to the ball really well. Kobe Fleener without the speed is ultimately who Henry Krieger Cobble is, with a hell of a lot better hands. Andrew Wiley, don't like him as far as, you know, what we saw from him in preseason. Tyreek Burwell, he's another offensive tackle. Not sure about him. Don't know that I've ever seen anything. Joey Mbu, he's a nose tackle. He's been in through the Falcons. He's been in a couple on the practice squads of a couple different teams. And he actually is somebody that teams would probably sign, as far as I'm concerned. He's been on 53s before, and he would be an interesting, you know, a possibility for to come up if any injuries happen. And he might be another a candidate for other teams to sign off of our practice squad. We have two outside linebackers, Josh Perry and Jonathan Calvin. I don't know a ton about those guys either, but they've been on, in and out, you know, as far as that goes with the Colts and stuff. So the practice squad has come together. It's kind of interesting to see some of the talent on there, kind of what these guys are going to be able to do. Now let's look at the Cleveland Browns this week, guys. I mean, we are seeing a team right now that isn't doing anything as far as winning. They're 0-2, just like us. But this team's got some talent. I mean, we all know about Joe Thomas, a fantastic tackle for them. They got Rashard Higgins, Sammy Coates, you know, Corey Coleman. Although I believe Corey Coleman just got injured. I'm not real sure about that, if that's accurate or not. I think it was. They've got a decent line. It's kind of young. It's not really all put together very well. But Kenny Britt really has done pretty decent. They've got Kason Williams. I don't know how much or if he's going to play, but that dude had a really, really, really good preseason for the Seahawks. He was a guy that I wanted the Colts to claim off waivers when the 53s came down. I don't know that that would be the case, that he will get so much playing time. But, you know, he's a guy who could definitely hurt the Colts for sure. They've got Randall Telfer and Seth DeValve and David Njoku at tight end. More talent there. DeShone Kizer is going to start for him more than likely. Right now they've got Kevin Hogan as their backup. So that's likely who we'll see if something goes sour with DeShone Kizer. Hopefully it does. Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, we know those guys from the past couple of years. They've been solid as far as kind of running backs, and they just have kind of fallen off this year. Their running game's just really next to nothing. But their defense is something, okay? Carl Nassib, Trevin Coley, Danny Shelton, you know, Emmanuel Ogba, who's kind of, you know, one of those guys. Christian Kirksey, love that dude at linebacker. That dude is an absolute ass kicker, and I really wanted the Colts to kind of try to target him if they can in the next couple years. He's a guy with a ton of talent, and I'd like to see him with a horseshoe on the side of his helmet. But, you know, they've got a bunch of guys. Jamie Collins, he's right now the backup, which is kind of weird, right, to Jamie Burgess at the Sam backer. So Jabril Peppers at safety, we all talked a lot about him, you know, throughout the year in the pre-draft process. Jason McCourty is one of their corners, and Derek Kindred, and, you know, they've got some talent. T.Y. McGill is on their active roster right now. Miles Garrett's not going to play. That's already been determined. But, guys, this is a defense that is coached by the dude that, you know, basically set up the whatever it was with the Saints, you know, the Bounty Gate. And this dude is going to come full force to try to knock off Jacoby Brissett's head and just about anybody that gets in their way. So understand that with his first year, he's going to be able to get through to these guys because he's got that in his past. He, you know, these guys still don't know him well enough to really get pissed about him being such a jerk. You guys, if you guys ever saw him when he was with the Rams and they did the HBO special there with them, you guys kind of saw exactly what kind of person he was. So expect this team to come out headhunting. I don't know how their offense is necessarily going to look, but our offense isn't the greatest, and we're going up against a defense that is really going to be hungry to make an impression. So I think that our defense needs to be similar. I think our defense needs to go after that rookie and try to, you know, I think that Ted Monachino needs to really try to mix up some coverages, mix up some blitzes, get after the quarterback like we did Carson Palmer this week. When we've proven it, I mean, and it's been proven for years with every team that does it. You put pressure on the quarterback, things happen, good things happen. And we can't sit back in coverage because first, our coverage, when we do that, looks awful. It gets stagnant. People don't make plays. They start tracking the ball instead of going after the ball. And we need to be opportunists. Go after the quarterback. Get guys hungry because they're understanding that the ball is going to come out in 3 seconds if we're going after the quarterback. And that ball's up in the air. People can make plays on it. So I'm hoping that the Colts and Ted Monachino really, really put together a aggressive game plan this week. We need to see the Colts get a W. I mean, I don't know how I would pick this game, to be honest with you. I think that I would favor the Colts. I've actually picked against the Colts in the first 2 weeks. I think that I'm probably going to pick the Colts in this game because I think that the Colts realize they have no choice but to be aggressive in order to get a win because they saw what happened against LA. When you sit back and you're passive, you don't send a couple guys, you're not unique or innovative with your blitzes or how you're attacking the offensive line of the other team, you're going to get torched. And it doesn't take a good quarterback to torch you. They can't allow DeShone Kizer, a rookie, to torch them. Okay, Colts have been really nice to bad quarterbacks in the past. I'm not saying DeShone Kizer is bad. He's a rookie, though, and that equates to bad right now. So he has to be put and taken off his spot. He has to be put on notice immediately. He needs to get popped in the mouth a couple times, figuratively, of course. And if the Colts are going to do anything, they've got to do this. You know, I think we need. Old Chuck Pagano or Ted Monachino to start some bounty gate stuff right here. You know, you get a sack on the guy, you get a couple $1,000. Otherwise, you know, our defense may sit back and be passive all day. I really hope that's not the case. I hope that's not their game plan to just assume that rookie's going to make mistakes. They need to force him into mistakes big time. And the Colts offense has got to grow, and Jacoby Brissett's got to fix up and clean up some of the things that he did the other night. And hopefully he's going to grow and do that. I think that he will. He definitely showed that he's definitely got more skills and more natural ability than Scott Tolzien could ever have. And that's a good thing. I think that, you know, by all accounts from what people are saying about him, how he's approachable in the locker room and how he comes off, that he just has a bit of something about him to where he's a guy that seems like he's got the right confidence and the right trust in his teammates and, you know, the ability to lead. So I'm hoping that they can do that and get him in a good position to win. Hopefully Andrew Luck's in his ear a lot this week and helping him out. So I know that Andrew Luck was in the ear of the receivers on some of their routes this past week and caught some of that on Game Pass. That was interesting, especially on a Kamar Aiken route. I think Aiken waited too long to cut it off, to break off his route, and it caused Jacoby Brissett to get hit. Brissett was ready to throw that ball at about 8 yards, and Aiken ran about 11 yards. So as soon as he got to the sideline after that route, Andrew Luck was in his ear basically saying, hey, if you see 8 guys on the line, you've got to break that off quicker or something, you know. So that's good, and we need Andrew Luck in the ear of Jacoby, and hopefully this week we get a win. I'm hoping because this Cleveland Browns team is going to be pesky, and it's not going to be an easy game. It's probably not going to be a pretty game, but I would love to see the Colts come out and just put a 30 burger on them and really get their confidence up going into to week four against the Seahawks, because that's not going to be an easy game playing at the Clink, that's for sure. So guys, that's all I got for today. I hope that you enjoyed the show. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I really am excited to see the way that this team can kind of bounce back. This is fun for me, even though the Colts don't have Andrew Luck. It's fun for me to see Jacoby Brissett and thinking that he can grow. not the stagnance that comes with the other quarterback that was playing in week one. I like that the Colts defense has gotten some, you know, some aggressiveness to them. At least last week they did. I want to see that in the future, because what else they got, really, right? I mean, they don't have anything else to lose. They're losing games already because they're not being aggressive. They need to continue to go after quarterbacks, make this a lot, make this fun for them, make this a battle, and give themselves an opportunity. Because, I mean, it's a better football game, right? I mean, people, I don't know if you guys were watching on TV and you thought this game sucks because there was no scoring, but I saw a lot of activity from the Colts on offense and defense, or at least on defense, I'll say that. You know, the Colts weren't great on offense, but their defense was doing what they were supposed to do, stopping the run, making it hard for Palmer, and they were getting after him. So I want to see that again. I'm kind of excited for this game because I'd like to see them. I think they've got an opportunity to torch a team and grab some confidence before week four. So I hope that you guys are on board with that too. Make sure you guys are getting out there and getting the Apple Podcasts ratings and reviews up. Those are continuing to help. We're above 75 now, so we are going to give away another jersey. I don't think it's going to be Andrew Luck jersey this time, but we are giving away another jersey. So you guys are all 75 of you are in for that. So that's going to be another thing coming up here pretty soon. Also, make sure you guys are getting to Stampede Blue and checking out all the content there. We've got some new writers. We got a lot of stuff going up right now, a lot of film review. Hope that you guys can enjoy it and take out of it what we are trying to offer for you guys to kind of get a second, third look at what's going on the field, because it's hard to remember everything, right? I mean, I can't do it, and I don't expect anybody else to. So when we go back over it 3 and 4 times, kind of do some visual aids to help you out with that. So a lot of stuff, good stuff in the future, guys. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Make sure you guys are sharing the show. Please retweet the show. Please share it with a friend, you know, somebody that you know is a Colts fan. You don't think that they've, you know, gotten to listen to it or something like that. And if you think that they'd be interested, give them a shout. Let them know what's going on. Also, if there's anybody out there who is interested in sponsoring the show, we would like you to give me a call or email me. My email is mattdainleysb@gmail.com. So make sure you guys are doing that. We do have a couple sponsors coming up here in the next couple weeks, and it's a great opportunity with a great many Colts fans and a lot of listeners every single week. So thank you guys all for listening. I'll talk to you all on Friday right here on the Colts Cast.